Thank you so much. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Wonderful. Well, it really is a privilege to be with you this morning and to share God's word with you. Isn't Jesus wonderful?
Amen.
He really is. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God today as he always has been. Yesterday, now, forever, he's always the same. And what he did 2,000 years ago, he's still doing today. As we sang, he's the God who is and was and is to come. And it really has been a privilege to be here for the last couple of days and to see such evidence of God's grace among you. The work that's going through the White Inch Transformation Center into the community, the work through Forge with Alan going into Scotland and now into Northern Ireland, into England, and into Wales, just wonderful. And trusting God for more, that God would continue to take the life that is so evident here and see that life planted into communities right across this wonderful nation. That's what we really want to see. Please would you turn with me in your Bible to John chapter 2, and I'd like to read from John chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 11, Jesus' first miracle. Now, the Gospel of John is amazing. It really is. It's the life of Jesus recorded through one of his closest friends. And I love the way John introduces himself in the Gospel. He introduces himself as John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He didn't say, I'm the one who loves Jesus, because that would be to his credit. But he recognized that I love him because he loved me first. Is that not our experience? And my wife Jill just turned to me, Alan, and said, you know, you just ooze God's love. Just wonderful, really. I think that's just fantastic. It really is. And as a community, God wants to put his heart in us for the people around us. So if you found John chapter 2, let's read from John chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 11. And what I was trying to say before I got sort of sidetracked there was in the Gospel of John, we see seven miracles recorded. And these seven miracles show something of God's glory so that our faith can be placed in him. And today, as we talk about miracles, we're going to study Jesus' first miracle. There's three series of sevens in the Gospel of John in the 21 chapters. There's the seven miracles. There's the seven I am statements. I am the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then there's seven major teachings. And it's wonderful how these all come together to show us what our wonderful Lord and Savior is like. And I love the I am statements. He doesn't say, I was or I will be. He says, I am, in the present tense. And I trust that we will catch something of what God wants to be as the I am in our lives today. So John chapter 2, verse 1 through to verse 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus was also invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. I've thought about saying that a few times to Jill, quoting that verse when she's asked me to wash the dishes or something, but I've realized that would not be wise. And wonderful. And there's verse 5. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Now there were 6 stone water jars there. Some versions say there were 6 earthen vessels there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. And they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast. So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Some versions say, you have kept the best until now, or you have kept the best for last. And then verse 11 says, this is the first of his signs, or the first of his miracles, that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, if we were to define a miracle, I believe a simple definition of a miracle is it's a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. It's when God breaks into our lives, breaks through, and changes things. And he still performs miracles today. I heard somebody once say that the word miracle in its original form in the Greek gives an indication of an explosion of God's almightiness in our lives, where God breaks in and reveals himself through his work in our lives. It was his first miracle, we read in verse 11. And we also read in verse 11, the purpose of this first miracle was so that he revealed his glory and his disciples could put their faith in him. And I think that's a wonderful thing, really, if we think about it, that the purpose of miracles is so people can see his glory, so they can see who Jesus is. And I think so often when we preach the gospel or share the gospel with people, we focus on human need. But I think we should focus on the glory of God and his love, his mercy, his faithfulness, how his mercy triumphs over judgment, how he loves us so wonderfully. And when we see him as he is, the Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance, causes us to want to turn our back on sin, to turn to him and receive seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Now, we read, as I said, seven miracles in the Gospel of John, but they were just a selection of the miracles that Jesus performed. John, at the end of this gospel, in chapter 21, verse 25, he says, now there were also many other things that Jesus did. And if every one of them were to be written down, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Isn't that incredible? Jesus performed so many miracles. So many times he intervened in the ordinary course of nature, in individuals' lives, and he continues to in our day. It also says in John 20, verse 30 and 31, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and by believing may have life in his name. And the purpose of miracles is so that people see his glory, so that they can believe in him and they can experience his life. Wonderful to be a church that has as its central core to be people of promise, people of miracles, people of healing, and people of revival. May God use you and I to be the body of Christ, here and now. Now, none of us carry all that Jesus carried. He's dispersed that among us, and we all need each other. But he says in John chapter 14, verse 12, the works that I have done you will do, and greater works than these, because Jesus was confined to one place at one time while he was here on the earth. But now, through his Spirit, he can use each of us. And he wants to use each of us to be carriers of his anointing, to go and bring life wherever he has placed us. Now in this first miracle, Jesus turned water into wine. And we see something of his heart. He was at a wedding. They had run out of wine. It would have been an embarrassment for the couple and whoever was hosting the day. But Jesus turned between 120 and 180 gallons of water, dirty water used for ceremonial washing of hands and feet, into the finest wine. What a wonderful miracle. You see his heart, but you also see his generosity, and you see that God's intention is for us to enjoy celebration. Now, I've often spoken on this passage at weddings. Because he performed this at a wedding. And I'll often use 3 points at the wedding. The first is this. Don't just invite Jesus to your wedding, but include him in your whole marriage. In verse 2, it says, Jesus was invited to the wedding. And many times at a wedding, I'll encourage the bride and groom to make sure they weave Jesus into their relationship. You see, if you just have 2 strands, you tie a knot. But if you have 3, you can make a rope. And bring him in. Let him be that 3rd cord in your relationship. Include him every single day. The second point I make, and this is just an aside here really, is build your marriage on God's word. Whatever he says to you, do it. Reflect on the principles of God's word and build your marriage, build your relationship on the word of God. And finally, I make the point that the best is yet to come. Your wedding day is a wonderful celebration, but it says in verse 10, he saves the best for last. And I want to say in our relationship that has been true, and it can be true in your relationship. It's not over. He saves the best for last. He wants us to draw out from one another, earthen vessels, something wonderful. He wants it to be filled to the brim and drawn out and brought to the master of the feast. And we need to do that with our spouses. We need to bring them to the master of the feast and say, Lord, bless my wife, bless my husband, bless my family, bless my friends. Let's draw them out and bring them to the master of the feast and draw out what God has placed in them. In his hand, he can turn that into the finest wine. Isn't that awesome? And I want to say today that miracles are not confined to financial provision or physical healing, but God can perform miracles in relationships. The greatest miracle is a changed heart. When somebody encounters Jesus and they become a new creation in Christ. My dad has only been to Scotland once. He grew up proud of his Scottish heritage. He lives in South Africa now. And I realized that my upbringing helped me because when we went to Troon the other day, I knew how to pronounce the word Troon because my dad had coached me talking about golf. And he would always say, when it was watch the golf on television, Troon, he would pronounce it correctly. Now, I probably don't have it right. Excuse my accent. This is what happens if you hang upside down most of your life. You talk like this. Okay, that's what happens. But my dad was not a Christian. I was the first member of our family to be saved. Recently, my mom passed away. And she had Alzheimer's for a couple of years. She passed away just in the last 2 months. And I went to spend some time with my dad. And while I was there, he said, before you were 15, you were uncontrollable. And then you encountered Jesus and you changed. Completely changed. From the inside out. I didn't encounter religion, I encountered Jesus. He changed me from the inside out. And from the age of 15, for 35 years-ish, I had been praying for my dad's salvation. Well, just recently, the last maybe 3 or 4 years, I got an email from my dad, and it said in the email, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And to my shame, I thought that his email had been hacked by Nigerians. Yeah. I was expecting another email to come through that said, please send money and all this sort of stuff. You know. A little later, he phoned me, and his first comment was this, I've given my life to Jesus, but I don't want you to tell anybody. Started like that. Now, he's very vocal about his faith. You see, because the change happens on the inside, but it works its way out into our thinking, into our, you know, he was never embarrassed to be a Christian, but he wanted to tell people himself. He didn't want me to start broadcasting it all over the world in that sense. And it's just been an incredible thing to see how he's changed from the inside out. My mom used to give him a Bible for every Christmas, every birthday. He had enough Bibles, new Bibles, to open a Christian bookshop. But, you know, the amazing thing is an encounter with Jesus changes everything. It really does. really does. So three quick things from this miracle. The first is this. We're not at a wedding today. Let me share three quick things with you. Number one is Jesus uses earthen vessels today. In verse 6 and verse 7, now there were six stone water jars, earthen vessels, there for Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Wow. He said to the servants, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. This was the dish liquid mixed with the water. This was the leftover, the grey water. Not this beautiful water that you have here in Scotland. Sweet, wonderful water. And I've been telling people, you guys should start bottling this water and sending it south. I think we'd probably buy it. I said, why don't you call it something like Scottish Highland water, or something like that. I mean, you'd make a fortune. Anyway, he uses earthen vessels today. It says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What are we made from? The dust of the earth. God fashioned us. He breathed his life into us. And then it says in that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And I want to say today that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I love reading the Bible because we read about a man after God's heart, David. But when we read modern biographies of Christian leaders, they only focus on the highlights of their lives, the high points. And we all know that we don't live on the mountaintops, do we? We don't live those experiences. They focus on those key events, and we read those and we say, wow, isn't this incredible? Amazing. And then we feel inadequate, and we feel imposters, and we feel God can't use me. But when we read the Bible, we read about the good, the bad, and the ugly. We read about how David was a worshiper and a warrior and a womanizer. Yeah. We read about how he failed, yet in Psalm 51, we read about how you can come back to God and you can repent. And we read about how God restores. And we recognize that God can use you and I. He can use us, ordinary people. And God uses ordinary people in extraordinary ways to perform his miracles. Now, I personally believe that the key is to recognize God's voice, to hear his voice. And I think it's wonderful that you have these different courses and different things coming up to tune our ears in to the voice of God. You know, he's always speaking, and we need to tune in. Just like you tune in a radio, you need to tune in to be able to hear his voice. When we drove up here from England, wonderful drive, and as we drove up here, you have to adjust the radio because you've got to make adjustments all the time so that it's clear, so you don't have interference. And so often in our lives, sin or attitudes or busyness become the noise, the background noise, and we've got to make adjustments by spending time in his word, opening our ears to hear his voice, that still small voice, that we may hear him and simply do what he tells us to do. Jill and I were invited to a ball recently. One of our leaders in our church was having they wanted to have a masked ball for his 40th birthday. And we thought we'd better learn how to do this dancing stuff. So you know what we did? We found something on YouTube. It was a channel on YouTube called Monkey See, Monkey Do. Now I thought that works for me. I can do that. So basically what we did is we watched and we practiced. And the biggest room we had was the kitchen, so we practiced in the kitchen. And I tell you, we were pretty good at it. Would you like to see a demonstration? Yeah. She knew that was coming. Okay, I'm not gonna embarrass her. But it was just fantastic. Absolutely. Now, we got ourselves prepared. We got those masks. I bought Jill some of those, work boots, the steel toe cap shoes. So she was prepared for anything to happen. We had a wonderful time. We really did. But the simple thing was this. I saw and I copied.
And when we begin to read the Gospels, we realize this. When we read the book of Acts in particular, we realize this. God, they pray, Lord, stretch forth your hands. And then they went out and they laid their hands on people. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are the ones that he wants to use.
Let me just throw this in. I wasn't planning to do this, but let me find it. I just need to get my phone back onto the internet and find this very quickly, if I could. The story I heard about how God wants to use our hands. Be there in a second. Let me read it to you. In a small village in France, they had a statue of Jesus in the square. During the Second World War, it was bombed and the statue fell and its hands were broken off. They lifted the statue up to its feet again. One man asked, "What good is our Christ with no hands?" Another man set the statue on a new base with a plaque which read, "We are his hands." Many years later, a poet visited and was inspired to write these words. "I have no hands but your hands to do my work today. I have no feet but your feet to lead men on the way. I have no voice but your voice to tell men why I died. I have no help but your help to lead men to my side." I read recently something that was written by and find it here again, something that was written by Saint Teresa of Avila. "Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. Yours are the feet with which he goes about doing good, and yours are the hands with which he is to bless us. Lord, use us, ordinary people, earthen vessels, with our flaws, with our mistakes. Use us for your purpose." The second thought I have for you is God uses our simple acts of obedience to serve his eternal purposes. In verse 5, it says, "Do whatever he tells you." Verse 8 says, "When he had said to them, 'Now draw some out,' they went and they did it." Now faith is simply an obedient response to what God has said. And miracles happen because of faith, not because of needs. It's faith that draws down the power of God. And faith is a response to God. It's when God says, we do. A simple response to him. We all know about the big catch of fish in Luke chapter 5. Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their net began to break. The fishermen became fishers of men. They fished all night and caught nothing. But that became a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish. What was the key? They heard him and they obeyed. And I want to encourage us, do whatever he tells you. Simple acts of obedience. Once, Jill, we were youth pastors in a church in Harare, Zimbabwe. Jill used to play the saxophone. And she was playing the saxophone, preparing for the service, big band, the big church, playing the saxophone. She put it down, needed to go to the restroom. Is that what you call it here? Like the Americans, the toilet. She needed to go to the toilet, you know. So you needed to go to the toilet, and she walked down the aisle to go to the toilet at the back. And as she walked past a particular lady who was sitting there, she felt just a stirring of the spirit in her to stop and say, "How are you?" And the lady said, my daughter is unwell. She had arthritis in her hands. She's unwell, and I'm concerned about her. So Jill said, "Let's pray for her right now." And as they prayed, that very hour, her daughter, who was not anywhere close to us, was healed.
Simple acts of obedience. And God can use us. And sometimes we might not see until eternity the difference that our lives have made. Our son Jordan, who Jill talked about, he loves to travel. And he goes into airports as he travels to all sorts of odd places in the world. And he prays for people. And we get videos from him of someone being healed in some airport somewhere, Qatar. And that guy goes off in a different direction. And he goes in a different direction. Now, we have had some reports that have come back where he's been invited to weddings where we've seen marriages restored. Where all sorts of weddings or people who've been living together, cohabiting, who've now decided to get married because they've encountered Jesus. Now, can you imagine the power of all of us just did what God said, gave that hug, spoke that word of life, prayed for someone, and God intervenes in the ordinary course of nature in people's lives. You and I are children of miracles. He wants to use us. And finally, my final point, and I do want to finish on time today. I really do. And I know, sorry about that. This is Margaret and Roger from our church. And just ignore that little giggle. Okay, absolutely. You are about to witness a miracle. Jesus can do in an instant what would take us many years to accomplish. Now, I have a niece who has studied wine making. It's a special word for it. Viticulture. I knew there was someone who was clever in this room. Well done. Viticulture in South Africa. And to produce fine wine takes time. It takes many years. There's a process that needs to go through. And the master of the feast, who understood something about wine, said, "This is surprising. You've kept the best wine until now." He didn't know what happened. It says there, he didn't know what had happened. The servants knew. And many times when you come into a church like this, and you're here on a Sunday, and it just looks fantastic. I tell you, there's just wonderful things happening. We do appreciate the fact that just like a swan on a river, looks so wonderful, floating along, but underneath there's two little legs just going 10 to the dozen. You know what I'm saying? That there's lots that goes on behind the scenes. There's lots of prayer. There's lots of serving. There's lots of love. There's lots of care. There's lots of stuff that goes on behind the scenes for that wonderful thing to take place. In the same way, we don't always know. When you hear someone's story, you look and you say, "Oh, isn't it just amazing?" Until you sit down and you actually find out that that person has grown up with brokenness and with pain. But Jesus has transformed that person's life. He can do in an instant what takes men many years. Okay? God can do in one day what would take man 1,000 years. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as is one day." In other words, God can do in a moment, boom, what would take 1,000 years. Now, I'm a terrible counselor. I was saying to the counseling team, when I just met them, just briefly, I said, "Yeah, I really admire what you guys do." The Healing of the Heart team came down to Bedfordshire, and I came along and listened to them. And I thought, what the work they're doing is awesome. And if someone comes to me for counseling, I sit there and I think, "Sheesh, you have a problem. You really have a problem." I mean, honestly, we need all the gifts, don't we? But one thing I do know is this: we do need counselors. But one thing I know, that the counselor can do in a moment what may take 20 years of counseling to undo. Now, we believe in healing, and healing involves many things. The great physician uses physicians. The great physician uses the anointing of oil, the laying on of hands. He uses miracles. He uses communion. He uses many different things. But at the end of the day, we trust him to do it his way. And I think we need to also see miracles where God intervenes, and in a moment he changes someone like he did when I was 15 from being an uncontrollable child who would have had asbos and I don't know what I would have had. Do you have those in Scotland? Asbo? You know? I would have had all sorts of issues. He changed me completely. Completely. Now, if you ask Jill, I still am a bit of a naughty boy sometimes. But the thing is, now it's all innocent. It's true, right, Jill? Yeah. Anyway, bottom line is this. He can change you completely. He can intervene in a situation. You might say, you don't understand what we've been through in our marriage. Come to Jesus. He can turn that dirty water into the finest wine. He can turn situations around. Final verse, Mark chapter 10, verse 27, tells us, Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible. So the three main points are, Jesus uses earthen vessels today, you and I. Number two, he uses our simple acts of obedience to serve his eternal purposes. And number three, Jesus can do in an instant what would take us many years to accomplish. Don't forget, the purpose of a miracle is for him to reveal his glory so that we can believe, put our faith in him, and experience the life that he intends in his name. He's still performing miracles today in our lives. Should we bow our heads and let's just ask him to reveal his glory? Jesus, we thank you that you want to reveal your glory. Lord, we recognize that the most wonderful miracle is where we come to a place where we can experience your peace, your joy, and purpose in our lives because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And I think it would be wrong for us not to give people an opportunity who do not have a relationship with Jesus to respond to him. If you don't have the peace, the joy, and the purpose that we as believers have in Christ, I want to encourage you today to simply say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. I want to make a decision today to turn from a self-centered life and to follow you, Jesus. If that's you today, just as our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, please just slip up your hand and say, that's me today. I want Jesus to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. Another man at the back. God bless you. Anyone else? Just raise your hand and say, that's me today. I want Jesus to be my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. That's wonderful. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but I would love for someone to pray with you afterwards. But just share with you a little bit more about what it is to follow Jesus. So we're going to pray a simple prayer. Let's pray it together. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. I believe in my heart that you are Lord and that God raised you from the dead. I make a decision today to turn from sin and to follow you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you prayed that today, if you put up your hand or you prayed that for the first time, could I ask you afterwards to come up to the front? And it'd be great for somebody to just sit down and share with you, you know? Two people. You know, the Bible says if one comes into the kingdom, is rejoicing. If two, double rejoicing. Eh? Wonderful. So just for a moment, I think there's somebody here and you've been experiencing pain in the area of your stomach. Difficulty and pain. It's not a sharp pain, but it's just like a dull pain. And it has caused you some anxiety in the sense of, and it becomes a bit of a vicious circle because you get anxious about it. Is there a problem here? And you know, there's a historical aspect to the problem, that there's a family member or somebody who's had issues in the past and you've been concerned about that. And it's just kind of, it's just pain within your stomach. And I really feel God wants to bring healing to you today. If that's you today, could I just ask you to just raise your hand? I'd love to just pray with you. Is anyone like that? I could be completely wrong. No problem. Thank you, sir. That's very brave. Thank you, ma'am. Love to. We would love to just pray with you. Just for a moment more. Someone has been having a burning sensation in their eyes. I don't know how else to describe that. I'm not a doctor. I don't know the terms. But a burning sensation in their eyes. It's been an irritation to you. And I believe that God can bring healing to that situation in your eyes today. Who's that today? Anyone like that? Just for a moment. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. That's wonderful. Somebody else there would love to pray with you. And again, we're not going to embarrass you. I love the way that Jesus ministered to people out of love and compassion. And healing is just an expression of his love. It really is. It really is. He's not a distant God. He wants us to experience his love. Somebody's been there's an irritation or an infection or an irritation within your right ear. It could even be a bit of a sound, a kind of an irritation causes a ringing within your ear. Is there someone like that here today? Thank you. So there's a number of people. But there's a couple of people who've been experiencing that. And we'd love to pray with you too. Now I know that you're children of miracles. And you don't need somebody to lay hands on you. You need the body to lay hands on you. Huh? Absolutely. But I feel that God wants to use people today. I think you have a ministry team. Is that right there? So if that's you, yeah, Jill, please come on up, eh? This is my gorgeous wife, Jill.
I was just feeling somebody has a lower back pain, like in the slightly to the left-hand side of your pelvis. Anybody, it's like a real irritating back pain. I may be wrong, but yep. Did you? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. This one I'm not 100% sure of, but I'll just go for it anyway. A shortness of breath, like chronic, like every now and then you have to take real deep breaths, but it's like it's been an ongoing thing for a little while.
Wonderful. So there's a number of people. Wow. Thank you. I don't know how you want to facilitate that, Alan or Stephen. I don't know how you'd like to facilitate that, but we'd love to just pray over those things. Could I put Jill on the spot to sing a song for us? I mean, is there time for that? If there's not, we can save it for a future time. Yeah? Go and get your guitar. She won't use a microphone. I think it's going to be quiet enough because you guys are wonderfully quiet and listening. And she's going to sing a song she wrote just recently about how God loves like that. And let's just listen to this, if we could. And then perhaps we could close the service, maybe. And then those because coffee is an important part of the service, is it not, eh? Certainly is in our church. And those who've responded desiring prayer or to make Jesus their Lord, Savior, and friend, please come on up. And we'd love to just pray with you. But you don't mind, guys? Don't mind if I get her to sing? That's cool. I mean, you guys are an awesome worship team here. And I understand you have four different bands. It's pretty amazing. And I know we're not meant to be jealous, but I am, you know? And Jill, if you could just tell us about the song as you get ready, if that's all right. Thank you, love.